sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
Every time I think we've gone above and beyond. I mean, we've done shows even, you know, before you. We did it from movie theaters. We did it from a Triple X movie theater.
Ooh.
We've done it from the Speedway. We've done it from Star Wars places. We are coming to you live pre, because it opens tomorrow, the St. Pete
Boat Show. We're sitting on top of a 42-foot Carver yacht, broadcasting live in the marina downtown St. Pete.
Definitely going to be cool. Have a huge guest we're going to introduce shortly. I'm very excited about this. I'm going to announce who will be sitting in for you, Super Bowl Radio Row.
Yes.
This former co-host of mine was going to come out, but some things came up, so they had to take care of it. But I'm still going to go ahead with the announcement. Scheduled on today's show, we're going to head out to Anaheim.
Yeah.
I planned on being out there.
That's one of your favorite UFC stories of all time, right?
It is. We'll tell it. Remind me, and I'll retell that in story time with Uncle Randy. But on the program today, Fighting Saturday in Anaheim, UFC 270. Kay Hansen will be on momentarily. And in the second hour, Victor Henry will be on as well. So Kay coming up almost any minute. Also, we're going to have Kim Green on again from the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete. So you know what that means.
Well, we're here. Race time. We're sitting on the track. Like the F1 point. Cars go flying past on the straightaway at Albert Whitted Airport, I guess. Is that what they call this place?
Albert Whitted.
Yeah. Yeah, so. And I did a 5K. Actually, I messed up my knee on a 5K at this track because it was pretty cool. It was a 5K race. You end up crossing the finish line on the track. It's pretty awesome, but
a lot of cool stuff that we're going to get to coming to you live from basically the airport, you know, for the yacht club. And we're going to talk about that. Tons of stuff to talk about. But right now, let's head out to Anaheim, where I will be in a few weeks for the Super Bowl. And welcome Kay Hansen. Kay, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate your time. I know it's just the start of fight week, and it's certainly not your first one. How do you get through fight week? Do you have a set schedule? Do you just let it, what happens, happens? What?
Well, usually they send you an itinerary, like earlier in the week, and then I try to plan out everything accordingly, like around that schedule. You know what I mean? As far as like meals and workouts. So it's usually a pretty busy week, but I'm usually really good about my weight and stuff. So like this time I'm only like 3 or 4 pounds off right now. So it's pretty easy money. I've been walking at the same weight for a while. So all I really have to do is focus on the media day and then getting like 1 or 2 decent workouts a day.
Is this week kind of like, the final week of school and summer, starts on Saturday and you're counting it down, or is it just like another week?
I try my best to keep it just like every other week. You know what I mean? I train every single day, multiple times a day. And for me, I just try to remind myself like that's all I'm doing on Saturday. You know what I mean? All this stuff is fun, but the ultimate focus is definitely the fight coming up.
Before we talk about the fight and your opponent, I saw that you were a softball player back in the day. Tell me about that.
I was.
You know where I'm going with this, right?
So I started playing softball when I was 9. 9 or 10, I think. And then I played all the way up till I was 16. I played pretty competitively. I was always a little smaller, so I like wasn't the best. Fortunately, I'm in a weight class or like a weight class sport, so it's a little easier. So I was always on the best teams, but I was also very small. So it was hard for me to generate like the same power as far as like hitting and stuff. But I played competitively for a long time, travel ball, and then I was planning on going to an Ivy League school. As far as like college went, with softball, college is really the farthest you can go, with softball. So, that was the plan until I saw, Ronda fight Betch Gohea. And then after that, it's like I threw everything down the drain and just decided to pursue fighting.
So okay, that's a pretty impressive resume, but Randy here is actually in the Guinness Book of Hall of Fame. Or
Guinness Book of Records.
Records for softball, and he competed in a three-day event.
Four and a half.
Four and a half-day event.
It's the longest slow-pitch softball game of all time.
That's pretty crazy. I don't know. I couldn't do that. That would be too much for me. My games used to be like an hour and a half, and I would be like over it. So I don't know how you did that.
Well, and the problem with that game going back, and this was many years ago, is, you know, you're supposed to like just take it easy. You know, we have to play 104 hours. But some of us, me included, you know, too competitive. It's single and it has to be a triple. And I'm talking at 3 a.m, day three. It definitely was crazy. But you ought to give it a try sometime. It was just a lot of fun.
Maybe. We'll see.
Let's talk about Saturday night in Anaheim. Give me your thoughts on your opponent.
You know, I'm in the UFC, so every opponent I fight, I'm expecting to be tough, you know. I'm not a big, like, film studier as far as that goes, but obviously I have, like, an idea of who I'm fighting. I feel like in the sport you kind of know who's around you, you know what I mean, in the division and who you could possibly fight, even people that you don't really have the opportunity to fight. You kind of are supposed to be aware of your surroundings. So I know a little bit about her, but I'm for sure just staying more focused on myself and what I want to do.
You know, I always talk to all of you athletes about, you know, everybody says game plan. And I always ask about how can you have a game plan when you don't know what's going to happen, you know, 30 seconds into the fight? It's kind of like people have asked, well, send me 10 questions. And I'm like, I don't know how somebody's going to answer the first question. So I don't even know where I'm going to go with number two until number one.
Exactly. So for me, obviously you have like a general game plan based on your own set of skills, you know. I do think for me, a personal goal of mine has always been like, no matter who my opponent is, I want my game plan to work, even if it's the same game plan every single time. You know what I mean? I eventually want to literally have a game plan, be able to tell them and then still be able to execute it. You know what I mean? So of course, like every opponent is different, so there's different things to look out for. But I think as far as game plans go, like you should always be focusing on your strength. You know what I mean? I don't think you should ever have to adjust your game too much to try to beat someone. Because if that's the case, then I don't know. For me, I try to be the most well-rounded as possible. You know what I mean? So I think putting in the work to be as well-rounded as possible kind of gives you a lot more leeway as far as game planning goes.
So okay, going back to the, you know, the statement of the UFC, so everybody's pretty good, everybody's mm-hmm. pretty much equal. You know, do you buy into that, like, where other leagues aren't as impressive or aren't as good or as talented? Like, are there levels to the MMA world, or once you're in a professional level, anyone can fight at any level?
I definitely think there are levels, for sure. You know, I think it comes with the not only the experience you get, but the quality of experience you get. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Someone could literally have 30 fights and not really fight any tough opponents, and they could get beat by someone who is, you know, 3-2, but has fought super tough opponents. So I definitely think that there are levels. I don't think, like, you could take anyone from any pro level and put them against, you know, anyone else, like, say, someone from the UFC versus a debuter in another smaller promotion. Obviously, like I said, every fight like poses its tough challenges and things, but there for sure are levels. And like when you get to like Bellator and LFA, there are tough fights, you know what I mean? But overall, I think once you get to the UFC, especially the higher levels of the UFC, the caliber kind of changes.
Absolutely. What is the craziest, funniest, strangest thing that ever happened to you in the middle of a fight or involving you in the middle of a fight?
Ooh, I don't know, actually. I know I'm super excited they switched to the Venom sports bras, because I know for the Reebok, I was like wearing like a regular bra under it because I knew how bad the Reebok bras are. And it's right. Funny because you can go back and like see action shots, and like my whole Victoria's Secret bra is literally just showing in half of the photos. And it like went to show that like if I hadn't worn that, it would have been really bad. So that kind of was like, not embarrassing, but it's kind of like a, you know what I mean? Like a, oh shit, sure. Moment, for sure. So I think I'm going to be fighting in rash guards from now on, just in case.
And a really good sponsorship moment as well.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Seriously.
do you collect anything, any kind of memorabilia, whether it's, you know, your fight, you know, other fighters or, you know, knickknacks or, you know, what is something that you would like to get? What would be a holy grail item that you'd like to collect?
I actually don't know. I don't collect too many things. It's kind of weird because I usually don't sell, like any of my apparel or anything like that. I get a lot of like offers and stuff, but to me, I don't know. I kind of like hold value to it. You know what I mean? Sure. I know like the next fight that comes around, I'm going to get another fight kit or whatever. But for me, it's like, I've always like kind of held on to that stuff. So as far as like my stuff, I guess I kind of do quarter it in a way.
Is there any piece of anything, you know, that would interest you to put on a wall or put on a shelf or, you know, stare at?
Not really, honestly. I'm not too materialistic as far as like I like experiences, you know what I mean? Over like actual memorabilia and stuff like that. So I couldn't think of anything off. I mean, I'm sure there are some stuff, but off the top of my head, I can't really like, I don't really have a bucket list of it.
I gotcha. All right. So it's Wednesday, 3 days up until fight week. How do you relax, you know, whether it is fight week or 3 weeks from now when you're at home?
I think for me, the biggest thing is like being well prepared beforehand to allow you to relax. You know what I mean? If you're coming into fight week and you have 10 plus pounds to cut and you're freaking out about that, then you're going to be stressed about being busy all week and then having to cut more weight and like, you know what I mean, running around and stuff. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, this time around, I'm in my hometown, so I'm 10 minutes away from my house. I got to sleep in my own bed last night. So everything's pretty smooth. I've done my job as far as keeping my weight good. You know what I mean? I've been walking 4 pounds overweight for a few weeks now. So everything's pretty chill. But I definitely think like doing the work beforehand and making sure that you cut out, like, because a lot of things can add up on fight week. So if you don't address them early on, they can definitely overwhelm you. So for me, I think, you know, as far as not being stressed, it's just beforehand preparation.
This is probably a bad time to ask this question, and only one more question after this one. I'll be in Anaheim. I'm staying in Anaheim at the Hyatt House for Super Bowl week. What is some place that I need to go to? Where do I need to go eat? What do I need to do while I'm there?
Well, are you a coffee person?
No.
No? Damn. I'm a huge
coffee person. I've never had coffee in my life.
Really? Oh, my God. Well, if you ever want to try coffee, Coffee Dose is in Costa Mesa. I go there literally every day. But, I mean, as far as that, I mean, I've lived here my whole life. I have no idea. I mean, people love Disneyland. I'm not the hugest Disneyland fan. It's always too crowded and too expensive for me. I don't know. I'm the worst. I've lived here, but I have no idea. I love coffee, so that would be my only suggestion.
So it would be coffee. Well, we've got a couple of weeks, so I'll hit you back up before I get out there to see if something comes to mind. But let's end it with, what can the fans expect to see when you get back in the Octagon on Saturday night?
They can expect to see a new version of me. You know what I mean? I've been forced to take this last year off to fix my health, my physical and mental health. So for me, I'm a whole new healthy version, inside and out, stepping into the cage. So just expect an all-around improved fighter in all assets.
Good stuff. Looking forward to it. Have fun on Saturday. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong, as well as a box of socks from Odd Sock Official.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Appreciate your time. Have fun on Saturday.
Thank you.
That's the kickoff fight for UFC 270. So looking forward to that. A lot of stuff to get to. We're going to introduce our guest when we come back from this break. Pierside, here at the airport. Dockside.
There's
a pier. This is a pier.
That's a pier over there. This is a dock.
I guess the boat I was on, we had to go to a pier because it was bigger. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Hall of Famer Deacon Jones, and we're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, If you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're invited to the 17th annual Festivals of Speed, Sunday, January 23rd, in downtown St. Petersburg's Vinoy Park. Festivals of Speed showcases over 300 of the world's most exotic and classic cars, with names like Lamborghini, Ferrari, McLaren, and others. Register your car and join the fun. Use code SAVE50 to save 50% off general admission tickets online. For information, visit festivalsofspeed.com. That's festivalsofspeed.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down to see Ferg and the whole gang at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hi, this is Mark Dupla from the Miami Dolphins. You are talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hanging out here, boatside.
Dockside.
Boatside.
Dinghy side.
There's a boat next to me.
There's boats everywhere.
There's a big dude to the right of me, too.
It's even bigger than the boat we're on.
It's been a few years, and when I say I've missed this guy, I have missed him, and I am like a kid in a candy store, as sitting in with us for the next hour and a half, my good friend and New Orleans Saint, Caleb Benedot.
Pleasure to be here, man.
What's
Thanks
up, man?
For having me.
How are you?
Great, man. It's great to be back.
The first thing I want to ask you, and we're just going to goof off like we normally do, but I never really have these set questions, but I need to ask you this because I've always asked Buccaneers, you know, when you go to play the Panthers, when you go to play the Saints, there's that rivalry, there's that dislike, and there's a reason there's a dislike with the Panthers because something that happened many years ago. But now you're on the other side. Now you're the Saints, the arch rivals who tend to have their way with the Buccaneers. How difficult, or is it like the Bucs of the past and now you're the Saints?
Man, it is a little difficult, just because, you know, I have so many friends over there and stuff like that. So, but like the game to me this year, it was fun and exciting. And like, I was hyped to see the guys after, and like, it's always great to get a win and kind of stick it to the old team. You know what I mean? That's right. Always a good thing. It's always fun. But again, like, it's one of those things where when you kind of get into that environment, like, it's like a flip that switches, you know, and it's like, yeah, those are the bad guys now. Like, you know, so we got to go out there, we got to handle our business. But it's a great environment. It's a lot of fun. It's a great city. And it's nothing like Superdome. Playing in there is pretty crazy.
All right. So I don't want names.
Okay.
You know me. I don't want to play the name game. But I remember many conversations you and I have had and with Alex Kappa. And we've talked about trash talking. And you agree with me or I agree with you about the line. And there really is none. So when they saw you, they're friends. But did they say anything other than what up?
Oh, man, there's always trash talk, but it's like, it's kind of fun banter back and forth. You know, when you have a relationship with a guy, the trash talk doesn't ever cross that line. You know, it depends. You know, it depends on who the person is. It depends on how you feel about them. And, you know, I don't really start nothing, but I'll definitely finish it.
And you've always said that.
Yeah.
You have always said that. So I know that you have become a pretty big MMA fan as well.
Huge MMA fan. It's become my favorite sport very, very fast. I love the sport.
Any fights? I know you're looking forward to the just announced the Covington Masvidal.
It's a huge fight. I'm excited to go there. Me and my buddy Kenny Clark are already looking at tickets to go. That's going to be a lot of fun. The Cyril Gane, Francis Ngannou fight that's coming up. I'm excited for that one to kind of see where he does after that fight, if he goes into boxing. And, you know, it's, I think the sport and what Dana has done and that whole production, like, it's amazing how fast it's grown. I remember my first time being in an MMA. I think I told you a story before. When I was 12 years old, I went to MMA gym and got choked out. And I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. Like, this little dude just choked me out. Like, how do you do that? You know, and so that kind of got me into it. But, like, yeah, it's amazing, man. And it's been a great one. And the guy I've been loving to watch, Sean O'Malley, he's really exciting.
Just your boy.
Sugar Sean.
Big fan of his. You know, just kind of like his persona. And I like seeing the personalities. I like seeing, you know, the theatrics with the, you know, the trash talking, the having fun, like all that stuff is dope.
So my question for you is, you know, well, I don't know if you can understand me without talking like this, because don't the coaches talk behind a board so you can't see the lips talking?
I'm trying to watch. What is he doing?
No, I'm putting the play sheet above my lips so they can't read my lips on TV.
Exactly.
To steal the play.
Because they will look on TV.
Sure. Is that real? They look
at TV copies. We look at TV. We hear calls, though, because you can hear it when he's making calls and checks the line of scrimmage. Everybody's mic'd up. Those cameras are really good. So coaches do that so you can't hear what he's telling the players and telling the quarterback before the play starts.
Wow. So my question is, you know, Greg Hardy went over to the UFC after his playing career.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you have any interest? Like, or you'd have to drop some considerable weight because the limit is 265.
For sure. For sure.
So.
But I'm a fan, and I'll definitely do it recreationally. Like, I'll go train UFC and fight and go grapple and do that kind of stuff like that. But I don't think I'm in the business of getting hit in the face for a living. Taking kicks to the head and elbows to the head. I love watching it. And, you know, I have tremendous respect for those guys. And I wouldn't, you know, it's not something that I would say, like, I don't want to say, like, yeah, I'm going to go do that, because I think that what they do is so specific and those guys have trained for so long and they're so gifted at it. You know, it's kind of like a UFC guy coming in and saying, yeah, I'm going to go try the NFL and I'm done playing in the UFC. I'm like, all right, pump your brakes.
Legendary story. And I know I was telling you a little bit about my good friend John McLaughlin. So Johnny Mack and I went to a UFC early, I don't know, 50, 60, something like that. And, you know, John went up to Dana and said, Dana, I want to grapple with Couture.
Yeah.
Now, Randy was fighting that weekend, and Dana's like, no, we can't have that. But we'll have you grapple with Gil Castillo. Gil was a welterweight, so 170 pounds. Johnny Mack was, I don't know, 240, 250. And John thinks he's going to go in there and just handle him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they go out there. There's cameras. It's on YouTube, so people can still see this. And Gil puts a knee bar on him in, like, seconds. And, you know, John thinks he's going to stand up and just shake him off like, you know, you get out of your pants. And Dana and I think Mask was there, and a bunch of people start screaming, don't tap, tap, tap. And so he taps and they stop. But here's the flip side to that. They went again, and Gil put Johnny Mack in a rear naked.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Mack stood up at 230, 240, 250 and fell backwards on top of Gil Castillo.
Mm.
So when you say that you maybe can or can't,
yeah,
maybe you can, you know, if you're able to stand up and, you know.
But do you think he stands up with Ngannou on his back?
No. Or Couture.
Yeah, exactly. So he's not fighting at 175 or so.
Who do you like in that fight? Now, Ngannou, if he wins, he has one more fight.
Yes.
If he loses, then he's a free agent, and we'll see what happens.
You know, Francis, for me, African person, African born, so I love him automatically. Love, you know, himself, Stylebender, Kamaru, all those guys, big fans, you know, my heritage. I think for him, like, when I watched his other fights and he was so reckless, it was fun to watch because you're like, he might knock somebody out, but he might get knocked out too, you never know.
Right.
But after I watched him fight Stipe and he was so controlled and so technical, like, I don't know who can really challenge him at that point. You know, like, I know Cyril has had a good run, but I feel like Francis has been through the ring a little bit more, fought some better fighters. You know, he's gone through the tougher guys, so I think he'll come out on top.
So if he wins, you don't think John has a chance to beat him?
I do, because I think John Jones is the...
I do, too.
I think he's the best ever.
I agree.
His skill set,
you know,
is ridiculous.
If we can block out, and again, people have always asked me this, you know, it's kind of like with Major League Baseball Hall of Fame votes.
Mm-hmm.
And does Barry Bonds get in? Does he get votes? Does Roger Clemens? Does A-Rod? On and on and on. If you can block out some failed tests...
Yeah.
And again, depending, if you tell me I can block it out, then yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, he is the greatest mixed martial artist of all time. And I think he beats Francis.
I do, too. Because I think he'd give him a lot of issues that Francis is not used to dealing with. I mean, his kicks, his wrestling, those elbows. Like, he just has such a repertoire of stuff to use, and it's pretty impressive.
We are going to bounce all over the place, but I want to ask you, you said about characters, and yes, Sugar Sean O'Malley is a character, but then there's other people like Colby Covington, who is a character, but what we've all been told is that's not really him.
Yes.
I believe that really is Sugar Shane.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes. So, yeah, for definitely. And that happens in all sports. It happens in the NFL.
Sugar Sean.
Sugar Sean, yeah. It happens in the NFL. It happens everywhere. There's guys who you know, like, you know in the locker room, like, hey, like, this guy puts on a little show when he gets on the field and when he gets in front of the cameras. That, you know, to
like, AB is not real. Like, you don't think that was?
I'm not. I don't know about him. His seems pretty legit. You know, his seems pretty legit. But you know, but you have the, you know, the crazy linebacker, like, but really he's just like a chill dude. You know what I mean? It's just kind of one of those things where it's marketing and stuff like that. So if you can make me believe it, I'm all for it, because I know Colby Covington. A lot of people hate him because of that act that he puts on.
Right.
But you can see after he fights Kamaru, he hugs him and says, hey, man, you know, it's just a self fight. I respect you. We have mutual respect. And I love it. You know,
I would rather them not say that. Yeah. You know, my whole thing is, and I've told Matt this, I might have told you this, you know, a couple years ago. I'd like when they dislike each other.
Yeah.
I'd like when they hate each other. I don't like when they hate each other. You can respect after the fight. I'm okay with that. But then BJ Penn brings Jens Pulver to Hawaii to train.
Yeah.
They hated each other 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I get the respect factor, but if there's hatred, my brother and I got in a fight when I was 17 and I still dislike him. You know, I'm not going to go train with him. He lives not far from here. I'm not going to go see him. We are going to go see his son though, his shop at Curated Heat after the show though. So
it's almost one of those things where it's kind of like the old NBA and the new NBA, right? So you have the thing where it's like Michael Jordan had this hate for everybody he played against. You know what I mean? And then now in the NBA, it's kind of manufactured hate. It's kind of, you know, they have like the jaw jacking back. Nobody's really going to fight anybody.
Right.
But back then, dudes were really throwing punches and fighting because, like, I really don't like you. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the things evolve and, like, I can appreciate both of it, you know? Like, coming to the Masvidal, they seem to really hate each other. And I've not been so excited for it. It's not even a title fight, and I'm so hyped to watch that. I'm so hyped to see that happen.
I have a huge decision to make, and I'll bring it up. I'll let you know what it is when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Carrie Turner from CBS's JAG, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
This is former WWE wrestler Tugboat, a.k.a. Typhoon of the Natural Disaster. And have you been to the best gym in downtown St. Pete? If you haven't, there's no better time than now. Suncoast Fitness is locally owned and operated. They have that old school feeling you just don't find anymore. Suncoast Fitness has plenty of cardio, machines, and free weights. It's more than just a gym. It's a family. Stop in and tell Hunter you heard it on the radio and your first workout's free. 33 6th Street South, St. Pete, Florida. Suncoast Fitness. We're just different.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com.
If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Brooks Robinson, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Definitely going old school right there.
Old school with
one of the greatest third basemen of all time. Kind of put him up there with Michael Jack Schmidt, though. All right, so here's my dilemma. I know you both are sitting on the end of your seat.
Yes, can't wait.
So I haven't told my wife this yet.
Okay.
Okay. We are going to, you and I and Lene, and we're going to broadcast from the Florida Strawberry Festival coming up in a couple weeks. So I always check the entertainment schedule.
Yes.
And I'm sure you're not going to know who this group is, but Home Free is performing on March 5th.
Okay.
So I already have our tickets. Home Free is, what is it, it's a cappella, you know, where they somehow make drum noises and trumpet noises and all this stuff. So I have tickets to take my wife to that. And then Sunday, I already have my tickets for Rick Springfield at Epcot. And then they announce March 5th, Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal.
Ooh, it's tough. Ouch.
Now, I've seen Rick enough that I could kind of blow that off, but haven't seen Home Free, but I don't know what to do.
That's a tough one. I think I'm in a tough spot.
I don't know, man. You might have to buy some flowers and some flowers and chocolates and makeup.
But here's the thing, and I know this is bad, and I know fans don't want to hear this or care. I'm kind of jaded. I've been to 260 UFC events.
Yeah.
A lot of them have been fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think this fight is not going to be as good as a lot of people think it will be.
You think so?
So you think
it's one side of Covington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Okay.
I think the hype is going to be awesome.
Is this Masvidal's final fight? Is this his showdown, like career?
No, I don't think so, because just like the Diaz brothers, you can go in and win or lose, and people want to see both Diaz brothers fight.
Yeah.
Do you want to see Nick Diaz fight after that last fight?
No, not really.
Not really, but you'll watch it.
Yeah, I definitely will. Definitely will. I think it's going to be a good fight, man. I do. Like, I know Masvidal didn't look great against Usman, and Covington is...
Well, who does?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Covington is, if Usman's 1A, he's 1B. He's a really good fighter. But I think there's a different level of, familiarity and animosity that I think he's probably going to come in with a little bit more oomph. You know what I mean? Like...
Funny that you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because I've talked to numerous people, mutual friends of ours, and we joke about it privately. When media says, well, does this game mean more than this game?
Yeah.
Does beating the Patriots, because that's where Tom Brady came from, mean more than when you played the Rams? And typically, the answer is they all mean a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
But
is it different with a fight, though?
I'll go back to your analogy with football. I think that games are different, and they do mean more certain times. I think that when Tom Brady beat the Saints in the playoffs, it meant more to him than other games, because he took two L's in the regular season. I think when I was in Tampa and we played the Saints, we weren't going to the playoffs one year, and we played the Saints, and our whole thing was we just want to beat the hell out of the Saints because this is a rival and it means a lot. Like when you go college football, even you can throw records out. You can throw a record out the
Alabama Auburn.
You know what I'm saying? Right. When those games happen, like, is Alabama not the better team? Clearly. But on that day, Auburn had more to give. They pushed more. It meant more. So I think you can say that it doesn't, and you prepare the same way, but certain things, like, there's just like a little bit more animosity and things, brings more out of you.
But in a fight, and I'm asking this for football, in a fight, when you dislike somebody so bad, you can make mistakes.
True.
Is that same with football?
True. Yeah, definitely same with football.
But the intriguing factor here is that these guys were roommates, they were training partners, they were best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's got a lot of the old school, like,
best friends,
Matt
or just
Hughes,
friends?
They live together, right?
Chuck Liddell, Tito. Chuck Liddell, Tito. I mean, it kind of reminiscent of that, that we're best friends. We're never going to fight against each other. And then it turned into a hatred. And then, you know, so I mean, you got all the storylines. You got the right pieces to make it a massive fight.
All right, so I want to throw this at you, and I know Kim Green is coming up momentarily, so you know we may start and then bounce back to it. A couple mistakes that even I saw. You know, when we do an hour radio show, we talk football for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. So even I saw some of these mistakes. And I reached out to some other friends, knew, you know, that we were going to talk soon. How many times are plays driven into your head, like hand the ball to the referee? Like, I watch Mike Evans do it all the time.
Yeah.
And then for it not to happen with the Cowboys. Rich Bisaccia, a friend of the family's going back to my brother-in-law's high school days, and they played college ball together. He's a special teams guru. Mm-hmm. For the returner not to know, stand out of bounds and touch the ball.
Yep.
How do those mistakes happen?
Man, it's I'm not going to...
No, I'm not ripping people.
I'll talk from my personal experience. When I was in Tampa in New England and now in New Orleans, we drill situational football every practice. Whether it's pre-practice to start out, they put you, okay, hey, 20 seconds left in the game. You have the ball on the 30, no timeouts. We need to catch the ball. You get a first down, go down. We're going to spike it, get a field goal. So you drill those things all throughout the week, and especially on Saturdays during walkthroughs, you drill those situations. So it should be constantly being drilled in you. So when it happens, and then when you get there, your coach is on the headset, let you know, hey, this is the situation, right? We need a down. So catch the ball, get down, we're going to clock it, and we're going to go. Or it's a mayday situation, right? We catch it, sprint off the field, let the kicking team come on, kick a field goal. So these situations are drilled in you constantly, and it's just kind of what you call situational awareness.
And I get it, the excitement and adrenaline and all that kind of stuff. And it's easy for me to sit here and say, how do you let that happen? But it does. I know spring training baseball, which is if they get that through the lockout, you know, how many times do they hit that two hopper to the pitcher and he turns and throws to first base? And you're like, why? It's for that reason, to drill it in their head all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think what the issue was with that specific game you're talking about is it was something that came up multiple times throughout the season for him. And so that's kind of why it's such an uproar now, because if it's a one-off, then it's kind of just like, okay, well, mistakes happen. But I think it was something where it was like situationally that team had struggled kind of throughout the year in different games. So that's kind of why the uproar is coming out from this right now. But like, it does happen, but it shouldn't be something that happens often, because it's drilled a lot.
But then when it comes to basketball, the player threw the ball just underhand to the ref, and he got ejected for a technical for throwing the ball at a referee. Mm-hmm. So you can't win in today's sports. All interpretation on what the referee thinks is right or wrong.
It's two different things. It's two different sports. It's
kind of, but it's the same thing.
See what I got to deal with.
I'm just saying.
See what I got to deal with.
The Foot Locker guy was in the wrong. He felt intimidated, and he kicked him out.
Yeah. Well, that could be. I mean, and there's been numerous stories of referees and umpires and not liking. And I remember a story of an umpire in baseball who was standing between the throw of a third baseman to second base.
Wow.
You know, there's runners on first and second, and he was standing basically right behind the shortstop, and the third baseman, I'm sure he said it politely.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
And they threw him out of the game.
Yeah.
And he's like, so next time I'm just going to hit you in the head.
Yeah. Now you got to sweet talk those refs, man. Like, you know, if I'm in the game, I know whoever the line judge is watching me, making sure I'm not all sides or whatever it is. You know, I'm like, hey, man, how's your, you know, our way of coaches who do certain things was like, you talk, you go through a referee sheet. Okay, this is where he's from. These are his kids' names. You know, like, go into real details. So I get up there, hey, man, how's Sally and Josh doing? They're doing good? Yeah, good. You know, just kind of break that ice a little bit. So, you know, if something happens, you get a holding call, or you got, like, a hands to the face. He goes, hey, man, next time I'm going to call it on you. You know, I'll let you get away with that one.
Wow.
But if you don't, like you, that first one, you get in that box. You got to sweet talk him a little bit, man. Get
that
to know him.
That is awesome. So we are broadcasting live today. From
42-foot Carver yacht. It's listed with Preferred Yachts of St. Pete and the Tampa Boat Show in downtown beautiful St. Pete. And I'm getting seasick. We're moving. We're on the water.
Which happens to be the same place that we're going to be in about 6 weeks.
For the Grand Prix.
For the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete. And it's that time. Excited to welcome back to the program, Kim Green. Kim, how are you?
How are you, guys? Good. Have you spent some money on a new boat yet?
No. I don't know if I'm supposed to say on the air what I've been told, or at least I've seen it on TV that you're never. I'm not going to say it. The two best times to own a boat.
The first day you buy it
and the day you sell it. But they in about
a lot
6
fun, but there are a lot of headaches too.
Yeah, like for sure.
Car, you know, it's a similar thing.
So in about 6 weeks, we'll be hitting the month of March, which means the return of the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete.
Well, not quite right. It's the end of February this year. It's February 25, 26, and 27. So really, we start full tilt into building the racetrack the week after the boat show finishes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I got bad intel.
Yeah.
It's sooner than I thought.
You're going to be late.
I am going to be late. How long does that whole process go from the time you first get here to the time you put the first concrete wall in until it's fully ready for race time?
Well, we'll start laying the first parts of the track block on Monday, January 31st. And the same day, we're actually installing our temporary marina. We're at least getting it in the water. And also our grandstand guys that build the grandstands for us and the suites will be starting. They might try to start a couple of days earlier than us, where they start building the grandstands where the racetrack borders and runs onto the airport. So it's basically February 1st comes around, we're full speed. We try to work 5-day weeks. Keeping some weekends up our sleeve for rain dates. And we worked the build of the racetrack. It's a plan that we really put in place when I originally negotiated with the city and the Tampa Bay Rays baseball team, because the spring training used to be right in the middle of the racetrack at L. Lang Field in 2005. And so we had to move some games. So we strategically build the track to be as low impact on the downtown area as possible. Firstly, starting really along the waterfront, going out towards the airport, and then taking certain areas of the track where we keep the streets open still. Eventually, closing down First Street. It's called First Street South, which is the racetrack from Turn 3 to Turn 4. We close that down on the Tuesday of race week. We get to take over the airport main runway, which is the front straightaway, and we'll take that over on Saturday, the 19th of February. And that's obviously a big build. We're going to build both sides of the track. Then we also put up a grandstand over there. So we have a minute by minute that is fine tuned every year, and we go through it with the city, and the city is very cooperative on making sure we keep. And cooperate with all the local businesses. We try and keep all the local businesses open or access to their parking lots as late as possible. But in the end, eventually, we have to close the track off so the race cars can run around there and see somebody trying to park on the street.
You mean like in to stay out of the way of maybe like a Frogger? You know, the video game Frogger where you like run in front of the cars?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing we have to do, one of the sort of a ceremonial city council meeting we have leading up to in the middle of the build leading up to race week is we have to get city council to vote and waive speed limits on the streets. Logical, I wouldn't have thought of that, but it has to be waived so the race car drivers don't get pulled over by a local police officer.
Never thought of that. That's interesting. Well, the most important question that I can ask, and I do want to ask you, you know, about the turns and all that stuff as well, but will there be the return of the media race this year? Are we going to defend our titles?
The media challenge is on, but it's not going to be at the racetrack. It's going to be on a Wednesday afternoon of race week. And it's going to be where it had been traditionally held for several years, at a go-kart track over in just across the bridge in Palmetto. And that's Dan Anderson's go-kart facility. He's the guy that has done so much for all the stepping stones to IndyCar, the road to Indy. And he owns a go-kart track over there. And our local resident, ex-IndyCar driver currently, but sports car driver now, Sebastian Bourdais organizes that go-karting event, because it's not only media. He then does a big charity function of team racing, where local businesses buy a team and it can have three or four drivers, and then there's usually an IndyCar celebrity driver, and there's a competition for that. And so, you know, Sebastian, originally started by Patrick Long, a sports car driver back in the day with Porsche. He and Sebastian Bourdais have done an awful lot for raising money for local charities, and so we try and support that as well. And because of all the activity we've got going on downtown this year with our build schedule, it just wasn't going to fit being able to put it on the racetrack. But I expect we'll come back to the track in future years.
Matt, I know you have a question, but I need to jump in real quick. Kim, my celebrity co-host right now, Caleb Beninat, offensive lineman with the New Orleans Saints. I'm curious, will they have a big enough go-kart for him to get into it?
Yes, please. I need to know.
You know, they have some, you know, they have some big ones. I mean, like, we had a four or five star general racing a few years back from over from McDill. He was tall, really tall. Sizes, and I think you'll be fine. You might have your knees banging around the side of the steering wheel a bit when you're turning.
It's okay. I'll squeeze in. We'll be all right.
They may need to take two go-karts and make one.
You can move other people out of the way if they get in your way.
So, Kim,
Sebastian, right? Has been a longtime friend. He's been a customer of mine at my pizzeria. And this week I'm opening a brand new restaurant, and I only have two trophies inside of it, and both come from the Media Cart Challenge. So I'm ecstatic that we get a chance to defend our titles, and I look forward to winning again this year.
I got to be honest with you, Kim. I think the stopwatch was broke when he won the fastest lap. Now, the team kicked butt, but I don't think he had the fastest lap.
Kim, if I can deliver pizzas safely and professionally, I can definitely drive a golf cart and a go-kart.
There you go. Let me ask you this before we run out of time. I know it's 110 laps, correct?
Yeah, the race is it's going to be 100 laps this year, and you know, qualifying Saturday afternoon. We are anticipating 26 IndyCar drivers, including there's a new lady driving for AJ Foyt Racing, and she's got a pretty good reputation in other series she's raced in. So I'm looking forward to seeing her on track. It's going to be as usual super competitive, and I know everybody's looking forward to coming back to St. Pete. The racetrack has no changes to any of the surface or configuration. And the drivers will be doing a couple of testing outings in Sebring on the short course this month. A lot of the drivers are driving this weekend at, I think it's the 24 Hours of Daytona this weekend. So, you know, that'll be big for them. If it's not this weekend, it's their test. I'm pretty sure it's the race this weekend. And Sebastian was talking to me earlier in the week. And what Sebastian also does, he auctions off some rides around our racetrack, and he'll have a Corvette, I believe, and a Porsche GT3, and it'll be him giving rides, and I think maybe Tristan Vautier, who also is a sports car driver who lives locally in St. Pete. So get the money out, guys, and donate some money to charity and buy a ride. And
we'll get more details on that. But I do want to ask you, with the turns, I believe there's five lefts and there's nine rights. Which is your favorite turn, if there is one?
Well, I have to say I love turn one because it gives some options how wide it is. And, you know, it gives that's the ideal passing place. Somebody getting through the last series of corners, coming out onto the main runway at the airport, so the start-finish line straight, and that is the fastest part of the racetrack. But it's so wide that you can take a pretty good, if you can draft a little bit, then take a pretty good inside, not a suicide line, but a pretty throw it in their line, and then you get alongside the guy who he's trying to pass. Very often, the two of them go through turn one, turn two, and somebody's got to usually give up going through turn three, or they end up on the wall in front of the Hilton. But I think that's an exciting part of the track. A lot of the fans love to be down in the turn four area, which is, again, the straight area, the first street that runs down past the Hilton towards downtown. And that's a pretty tight, complex turn. A lot of fans love to watch that area in there, and there's always lots of great entertainment for families in that area too.
And I think, you know, we were talking about getting Caleb in a go-kart in the go-kart race. I think we need to get him with Sebastian, where you can go through that the whole lap here.
I'm down. That's like a blast.
As long as it's not the vehicle that Matt was in, we're all good. Real quick, tickets I know just went on sale. Where can people pick them up, and how soon should they do that?
Well, it's selling. Tickets are selling very well. So gpstpete.com. Some great deals. The grandstands and tickets are moving pretty quick. We are sold out of corporate suites. We've still got some individual VIP hospitality suite space available where people can come in and have all-inclusive VIP hospitality, top of the grandstands. That's very popular with people that want to have nice food and beverage, covered seating, and a great view of the racetrack. But, yeah, I don't think if I'm looking for a grandstand seat, I wouldn't wait too long because they're going to sell out. And our general admission tickets are going well. I think we're going to have a great event. We're working on some things potentially for Saturday afternoon. We might be putting on an event downtown St. Pete just for the general public, which I think would also be a thrill for the locals in St. Petersburg.
Very good stuff. We cannot wait. Looking forward to seeing you in person and having you back on as we get even closer to race day. Kim, thank you very much for your time, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
No walking the plank down there, okay, guys?
Yeah, there you go, for sure. Being in the Navy, I'm not walking any planks. But so we did these media things, Caleb. Now, last year we won, and what was funny about it, and then I want to tell the story about, or I'll let Matt tell the story about his ride. When we first got to the media event, you know, there's Indy drivers, some of the biggest names. Sebastian was there. What's the guy who won three?
Come on. What's the guy's name? A Brazilian.
Yeah, the guy that climbed the fence.
Oh.
Helio.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Casanova.
So, you know, you walk up and you're like, you're hoping. I want to ride with the Indy, you know, the guy who won the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're sitting there saying, we don't want any putzes. You know, we want the mayor. We want, you know, the five-star general. So we go and we find out who our driver is. He drives the Porsche. And we walked over, and he was sitting with his dad. And you should have seen their look when we said, hey, you're our driver. And their shoulders slumped.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, crap. That's who we get. And we went on to win it.
Yeah.
You know, which was kind of cool.
Dominated it. We didn't win. We dominated.
Yeah, we did dominate. We did dominate.
Crushed.
So a few years earlier, oh, we'll tell that story later. But we got the opportunity to ride in the Porsche and ride in the GTEs and all that stuff. So I get in mine, and we're flying through, and it was awesome. Tell your story, Matthew.
So we hit a curve, and he just cut it a little too short, hit the bump, and lost control. We went through the grass on a media day exhibition, and I just saw the wall getting closer and closer. I was like, we're going to crash. And luckily, the grass caught, and we fish diverted to a different, fishtailed to a different direction.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was, terrified. I definitely saw, no, not really. I just was like, wow, this house is all going to end for me. And, but it was a pretty cool experience, even with that, and I got it on video.
He's got it on video.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I got to see that after.
Yeah, I think they've asked us not to show anybody. it definitely
but
was.
But that's not even the best Grand Prix story. The best Grand Prix story is Randy gets sideswiped by the mayor. He gets hit so hard that his cell phone goes flying out of his hoodie.
You kind of gave the story away already, but go ahead.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a hoodie like Caleb's clothing line, it was heavy duty, and it would have held the phone in place. But no, this is a cheap hoodie, probably from Walmart, and the phone goes sliding crazy. He doesn't realize.
I didn't know that. I didn't know my phone
was gone.
Yeah.
So after the race, everybody's got their helmets off. We're all sitting around talking, and everybody's talking about their experience and talking about the race. And Randy doesn't know. He doesn't have his phone. And all of a sudden, somebody says something like, well, I don't know who that guy is, but that's Ric Flair. And so people
which
like,
was
well,
my screen photo was yeah. Ric Flair.
Has anybody seen a phone? Anybody seen a phone? And Randy's like, oh, I'm missing my phone.
And I stick my hand on my phone. Oh, crap, that's my phone.
So Ric Flair was the reason that Randy got his phone back that day.
So that's dope.
In a roundabout way. Yeah. So in the second hour, not only are we going to talk to Victor Henry, who fights Saturday night, and we're also going to talk to your BKFC buddy, Elvin Brito, who's going to fight for the title. But we're going to find out more about your clothing line.
Yeah.
You know, and it's full line, right?
Yeah, full line. We released a couple weeks ago. I'm going to have our first pop-up shop in L.A. In the coming weeks, coming months. And we're going to have one in Tampa and in Miami and, you know, keep building. So I'm really excited for it.
We're going to talk about that in the second hour. And when is opening day for you?
You know, I haven't really decided. No, I'm still waiting on permits, fire, health inspection, sign off. So I would say February 1st to be safe. But with definitely within 2 weeks, I'll be slinging pies once again. And with my experience from the go-kart track, I'll be driving them fast and getting there fresh.
Well, I do have a question for you, Randy. So just to double back a little bit, right? So you talked about you've been to a number of fights. And, you know, I'm more new to UFC than you are. And I feel like every time we watch a fight or UFC event, it's the best knockout we've ever seen. It's the best choke we've ever seen, the best submission we've ever seen, right? So what was your best fight you've ever been to? And do you think that those things are just going to keep getting topped because the fighters are getting better and better and better?
I will answer that. Great question. We're at the top of the hour. So remind me, because I'll forget. Dementia is an awful thing. Somebody's called me once and they go, do you really have dementia? I go, no, I just don't remember things. Not necessarily that. But I have the answer. And, yeah. And to me, the one fight that probably could never be topped, I will let you know when we return.
Awesome.
Coming to you live from the St. P.
Boat Show.
And whose boat are we hanging out on?
It's a listing by Preferred Yachts. It's a 42-foot carver. And if you want to take a look at this boat, we have a limo driver, Steve Linnae, in house. We'll pick you up, bring you out of the
show. We'll pick you up and bring you here. All sounds good. All right, we're going to hit the top of the hour break when we come back. Hour number two. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.